Tonight we're going to be in Matthew chapter 9, if you would turn there. Matthew 9. We'll be considering verses 18 through 26 tonight. You know, one of the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you read the Gospels, gospel account of his earthly life, you'll find out there's one trait that stands out above any other. And that's compassion. Some people may refer to that as love, you know, if you want to call it love. I would consider it a synonym, love and compassion. And I believe that when the Lord Jesus Christ shows compassion, he's setting an example for us. That when we look at his life, how he interacted with people and how he felt about people, we can see that compassion. As a matter of fact, the scriptures is tonight we're going to consider two incidences where the Lord did in fact show compassion to two different people. And we're going to take a look at some more verses after that, but I think that's something that we should consider in our life, in our service for God. That's the theme of the message tonight, is what is our motivation for serving the Lord? And everybody here tonight, you know, I could look around and I could see that every one of us has some service for God that we're performing in our Christian life. And what would motivate us for that? You know, Gibby brought some messages about the judgment seat of Christ, where we will be evaluated and examined regarding our motivations, you know, in our Christian life for serving the Lord. And tonight, hopefully, we can see that wonderful trait of compassion that the Lord Jesus showed people, that we can learn from that. So we'll start reading it in Matthew 9, verse 18 through verse 26. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, Daughter, be of good comfort, thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole from that hour. And when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. And he said unto them, Give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn. But when the people were put forth, he went in and took her by the hand, and the maid arose. And the fame hereof went abroad into all that land. First of all, we see that in verse 18, the Lord met a ruler of the synagogue in verse 18, a certain ruler. And if you read the gospel accounts in Matthew and Luke, you'll find out that this was Jairus. That was his name. And his daughter was sick. And in this particular case, Jairus, the synagogue ruler, said that she was dead. But you notice in verse 18 when he came and greeted the Lord Jesus. In verse 18, it says, While he spake these things unto him, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him. Interesting, isn't it? That this ruler of the synagogue, recognized Jesus as the Messiah of Israel, the Savior of the world. He knew that this ruler believed in the Lord Jesus. He knew that Christ was the Messiah, the coming one that the Old Testament prophets spoke of. And he says in verse 18, he said, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. Come and lay your hand upon her. It's interesting that this ruler of the synagogue would make would publicly engage in a conversation with the Lord Jesus, because he put himself in jeopardy to a certain extent, because most of the Pharisees hated and despised the Lord. And here is a man coming, talking to the Lord Jesus, a man who was despised by the Pharisees. And the ruler was talking to him, and he risked the scorn of his fellow colleagues in the synagogue. But yet he was a man who needed the Lord Jesus. His daughter did. And I think it's interesting in this passage, verse 18, that it says that, "But come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live." He knew that at this particular time, in verse 18, by this time he knew and heard that his daughter had died. He believed that the Lord Jesus had the power and authority to raise people from the dead. Isn't that amazing? What faith? What faith? And the Lord recognized that. He knew it. He knew all about the faith of Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue. So in verse 19, we see that Jesus and his disciples arose. They went to the man's home. In verse 20, he met somebody along the way. Now, if you read the other gospel accounts, you'll find out that not only the disciples were with the Lord, but a great crowd of people were there also. And this woman here in verse 20 had an issue of blood. In other words, she was hemorrhaging. She had been in that condition for 12 years. That's a long time. I don't want to be in a condition where I'm losing my life's blood for 12 years. And it says in the Gospel of Mark that she had spent all her money on physicians, everything she had on physicians for a cure, but to no avail. There was no help for her among the doctors of that time. There was only one person who could help this poor woman. And she met him in verse 20. And she said in verse 20, or it says at the end of verse 20, "and touched the hem of his garment." This is the outer clothes that men wore during those days. She just reached out with her fingers and just touched the hem of his garment. Just felt it just a little bit. And it says in verse 21, "For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." I don't have to touch him. He doesn't have to touch me. All I have to do is reach out and touch his garment, and I'll be healed. I'll be healed. I think we see two things about this woman. One is her simplicity of faith. You know, this woman's faith wasn't very complicated. I mean, there was no formula. She didn't have to read a book or go to Bible conferences or hear sermons on faith and all that. She knew the one that she had faith in could heal her. And that was the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all she needed. Simple faith. Simple faith. Is our faith that simple? You know, I think one of the things gets in the way of my faith is worry. I worry about stuff. I don't know about you. You know, I worry about stuff. And of course we read that worry, as far as God is concerned, is a sin. You know, it's a sin. In Philippians 4, read that. Be anxious for nothing, you know. But this woman's faith was so simple that she reached out and touched the hem of our Savior's garment. The simplicity of faith. We also see that she had assurance of her faith. That is, she believed that the Lord Jesus Christ was the one who could heal her from her condition. She really believed that. She believed that Jesus was the only one who could heal her. And she was right. She was right. But she had the assurance of her faith. She had assurance of faith. And in verse 22... we see that when Jesus turned around, it says that Jesus turned him about. The Lord Jesus turned around, and he knew that somebody had touched the hem of his garment. It's interesting that he would know that. Of course, he is the Son of God, God manifest in human flesh. He knew that. True faith never gets unnoticed by the Lord. I think we all agree with that. And I think it's interesting here that as the Lord Jesus is on his way to another area, to a specific place to heal or to raise up this young girl, that he would take the time to talk to this woman. I think it shows that the Lord Jesus was always accessible, that he was approachable by other people. That people could come up to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm sick, I'm diseased, my son has a demon, Lord, please help me. And he would always do that, wouldn't he? The Lord Jesus would always do that. He always had time for people. In our service for God, do we have time for people? Sometimes I like to kind of push people. You know, I wish Gibby wouldn't bother me right now. I don't want to do this. But you know, the Lord Jesus would. He would take the time for people to talk to him. Even as he was headed out into another direction, the interruption that was experienced by the Lord Jesus here, he took that time to show compassion to this poor, dear woman and heal her of her disease. He says, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And the woman was made whole or healed from that hour. After 12 years of an issue of blood, of hemorrhaging, spending all she had on doctors and physicians, she touched the hem of the garment of the great physician, and she was healed. She was healed. And in verse 23, Jesus did come to his destination that he was headed to in verse 23. It said, and when Jesus came into the ruler's house, he saw the minstrels and the people making a noise. It's interesting to note that it was common in the Middle East in those days to hire professional mourners. If your family member died, you could have these professional mourners come in, and they would wail, they would sob, and they would make mournful noises, that type of thing. To us, that sounds kind of artificial and phony. You know, I mean, we don't, you know. The last funeral that I was at, there was nobody there that was a professional mourner that I know of. We consider that weird and strange, but you know, it was the custom in those days. And the Lord Jesus came into the house where of the ruler of the synagogue's house and saw his daughter, of course. But first of all, in verse 24, he said unto them, give place, for the maid is not dead, but sleepeth. Now, in this particular case, sleep is a euphemism for death. You know, the Apostle Paul used that in his epistles. That Jesus was saying that the girl was asleep, and that he was coming to wake her up, so to speak. In other words, she will be resurrected from the dead. And we see the reaction of the mourners there in verse 24, and they laughed him to scorn. What do you mean? You're not going to raise this? Hey, that girl's dead. What are you doing? You're going to try to raise her up? And they laughed at him. We see here the voice of unbelief. The voice of unbelief. These people had heard of the Lord Jesus. These people, these mourners, had heard about his miracles of healing, his casting out of demons, yet they refused to believe in him. You recall in John 11, when the Lord Jesus was at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus was raised from the dead, took his grave clothes off. People were amazed and shocked. Many believed in the Lord Jesus. But can you believe it that there was some who went to told the Pharisees all about this? They did not believe. They refused to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ after seeing this incredible miracle. The hardness of the human heart. It's amazing. But we have to think about in our past that our hearts were just as hard, weren't they? Until the Lord Jesus Christ came. But it's interesting here, there's a contrast in verse 24 between the mourners who had laughed him to scorn, filled with unbelief, and the synagogue ruler Jairus himself, that he had his faith in the Lord Jesus was so strong, it was so real, you see. And we see those two contrasts there, belief versus unbelief here in this passage. It says when the people were put forth, that is, when they were led out of the room, in verse 25, he went in, took her by the hand, and the maid arose. The little girl came, she came back to life. You notice here that the Lord Jesus' healing, it was immediate, it was thorough, and it was complete. The Lord didn't tell the girl, well, you know, sweetheart, you ought to go to the doctors. They'll give you some medication. They'll do an MRI on you, make sure everything's okay. Well, see, the Lord Jesus took care of all that stuff. She was okay. She was alive. She was raised from the dead. Totally and completely cured and healed. Now, I recognize that, you know, that some Bible scholars believe that this young girl was in a coma. She wasn't really dead, and of course the Lord brought her out of the coma and raised her back up. I believe the text indicates otherwise. I believe this young girl was really dead. But we see here these two examples of compassion that the Lord showed other people. Let's look at verse 36, same chapter, Matthew 9, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. There are people out there who are lost, heading toward a Christless eternity. Lord wants us to go out into his harvest. But in verse 36, I think it's interesting, there's a phrase there in verse 36 that catches our attention. But when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them. Moved with compassion. You recall in Luke 7, the widow of Nain, that the Lord and his disciples had come through the city of Nain, and they had encountered this woman who had a son on a coffin there, and it was a funeral procession, and she was taking her son to be buried, and she was the only child that she had. All her relatives apparently were dead. She was his only son. The Lord Jesus came to that funeral procession. He stopped it right there. He stopped it. Put his hand on the coffin and raise that young man up from the dead. Amazing, isn't it? But if you go back and read that, you'll notice something in the text there that it said that he had compassion on her, this dear woman. He had compassion on her. You recall this a couple Sundays ago in Mark 1 in our study in the Gospel of Mark. That when the Lord Jesus met that leper, you recall, it says that he was moved with compassion for that poor man, that poor outcast. He healed him of his leprosy. What compassion. What compassion. This is the motivator. This is one of the motivation for the Savior's work in this life. What should motivate us, you and me, in our service for the Lord? Compassion. Compassion. You know, when you and I are serving the Lord in whatever capacity we're doing it, wherever we're at, wherever the Lord has us, and whatever we're doing, serving the Lord, we're dealing with people. Saved people or unsaved people. When we serve the Lord, we're dealing with people. The Lord Jesus was like that. He was always serving and dealing with people. either or most of the time directly. But there's something about the compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ showed this ruler of the synagogue and this woman with the issue of blood that would set an example for us. That if we see people in need, that motivation for compassion should come up and be prominent in our thinking. There's a verse in 1 John chapter 3. Turn there, if you would. 1 John chapter 3, verse 17. Verses 17 and 18. 1 John 3, 17. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Now, 1 John 3:17 is talking about helping our brothers and sisters in Christ with our material resources. If we see a need, that we should help them out. But John is saying here, could we truly love someone without meeting their need? It says in verse 8, John said in verse 18, he says, my little children, that is the believers, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed, and in truth. Let's just don't say we love somebody. If we see a need, let's meet that need. That's what the Lord Jesus did, you see. When people were around him, he saw the need. It didn't take him long to find out what the needs were. He met every need of every person that he encountered during his earthly ministry. 100% of the time, totally and completely. Amazing. Amazing. But you know, compassion is more than just a warm, fuzzy feeling. I would call that sympathy. Sympathy is feeling bad for somebody else. You know, we all have sympathy, for each other. When so-and-so is sick, or so-and-so lost her husband, or her wife, or mom, or dad, and we feel sympathy for them, and that's certainly appropriate. But compassion, I would consider compassion to be sympathy in action. We not only feel other people's pain, we not only understand emotionally what they're going through, but we do something about it. If I'm sick and then in a hospital, I want somebody to show me compassion. A phone call, a card, a visit, And when the Lord Jesus just didn't sympathize with people, he had compassion for them. He had love for them. He showed it in his deeds and in his work. And the Lord Jesus has put in our hearts that same compassion. We have got the compassion of the Lord Jesus Christ dwelling in each one of our hearts, each one of us. We're here tonight to pray. But let's remember something as we pray. Let's remember our service for God, for the Lord. Let's remember that He wants us to show His love and His compassion to other people. We have the desire to do that in our hearts, but the Lord has also given us the power to do that through the indwelling Spirit of God, that we can show compassion. We can not only just sympathize with people, we can be compassionate to people just like the Lord Jesus Christ was. And now we have some prayer requests.